How's it going, folks? You are very welcome to A History of Change, the podcast. In this episode, we are going to focus on Chapter 1, the work of a historian. Specifically, we're going to look at different types of historical sources historians might use and the strengths and weaknesses of each one. Okay, so when we study history, it is important to consult more than one source to get a balanced view on events. All right, now, different sources have their own strengths and weaknesses, and it's important as historians to be able to recognize these when we are studying history. So the first and probably the most common type of source we'll come across is a written source or written evidence. Written evidence is simply things that are written down. That can be someone's autobiography, like for example, My Fight for Irish Freedom by Dan Breen. It could be a diary you write down. It can be something you write in your school journal. It can be a newspaper. It can be a census record. It can be all those things once they're written down. So what are strengths of written evidence? Well, written documents like letters, diaries, and government records are valuable sources of historical information. They provide detailed accounts of events, personal perspectives, and official records. They also help us with understanding the thoughts, motivations, and decisions of people from the past. Now, what could be a weakness of written evidence? Well, I suppose the person who wrote that evidence might have their own personal agenda. They might write something in a biased way that's one-sided, you know, to try and convince the reader of their point of view. Sometimes as well, documents can be edited or translated. For example, if I'm reading a document that was translated from Russian, for example, into English, it might not translate perfectly and information could be a bit skewed. As well as that, not all historical events were documented. So that means if we rely completely on written records, there may be gaps in our historical record. The second type of historical evidence we're going to look at is visual evidence. And this is things that we can see, and these are usually some kind of imagery. Okay, a good example of visual evidence is the Mona Lisa, a very famous painting. So visual sources, what are strengths of visual sources? Well, firstly, they could include paintings, photographs, maps, and illustrations. They offer us powerful insights into the past. So like by looking at these images, whether it's paintings and photographs, we can understand about the clothing, architecture, technology, and the environment of the past in a way that we might not get by reading about it. What are some weaknesses of visual evidence? Well, images can be manipulated or staged. For example, a painting might not show the event accurately. Again, that could be because of the painter's bias. Photographs can also be edited or altered, and that's gotten even easier nowadays with Photoshop. As well as that, relying solely on a visual source, a visual image, means that it can be difficult to understand the big picture. Okay, a picture does not have any context with it. All right, so that's why I mentioned earlier, it's important to consult more than one source. So I might consult a image from that time, but I should also find a written source from that time as well to compare them. So I can get a bigger understanding of, I suppose, the historical context and the big picture. So that's another weakness of an image. If I just rely on an image to learn about the past, it will completely neglect and leave behind historical context. It'll lack that historical context. The third type or piece of evidence we might look at as historians is oral evidence. Oral evidence is, I suppose, evidence that we can hear that's usually recorded. An example of this could be a recorded interview with an Irish-Canadian person in Newfoundland in Canada. So what is the strength of oral evidence? Something that we can hear. Okay, well, oral evidence like oral histories, music, speeches, and recordings provide us with a direct link into the sounds and voices of the past. So we can understand what someone's accent sounded like, for example. We can also understand a person's emotion when we hear them speak, depending on the tone of their voice. Now, what could be a weakness of using oral sources? Well, I suppose understanding and interpretation of these sources can be challenging because accents and dialects and languages can change over time. Oral histories, they might also be influenced by a person's memory. For example, the person might be biased in the story they're telling, and that can mean they might not be the most trustworthy at times. So again, it shows you the importance of using more than one source when learning about the past. The fourth piece of evidence we have is oral evidence. And these are things that we hear through word of mouth. So, for example, if you ever speak to your grandparents and they tell you a story, or any older relative, that would be oral evidence. It's not recorded. It's coming directly from a living person's mouth. Okay, so what are the strengths of these? Well, I suppose they offer valuable insights into the past, and they offer alternative perspectives that can sometimes be missing from written sources. So a lot of things they'll tell you won't be in a typical history book. Again, what are weaknesses of this? Well, if you're telling a story that's been passed down from generation to generation, each time it gets passed down, I suppose it can become more and more misleading and maybe altered or changed slightly. Verifying the accuracy of oral evidence can be challenging. So while sometimes it can be really enjoyable to listen to an old story or tale or historical fact from an older relative, verifying its accuracy can be challenging. The final piece of evidence we often look at as historians is tactile evidence. Tactile evidence is things that you can hold or touch. An example could be an arrowhead found during an archaeological dig. Now, what are some of the strengths of tactile evidence? Well, tactile or physical artifacts like pottery, tools, weapons, clothing, and archaeological remains, they provide us with physical, concrete evidence of past civilization. And they tell us about, I suppose, the technology, warfare, tools used in daily life, and trade of past civilizations. Again, what is a weakness of relying on tactile evidence? Well, it does not give us anything about the historical context. So if I gave you, for example, an old sword, unless you were maybe an expert in old swords, it'd be very difficult for you to understand the historical context or the big picture of what was going on. Where did that sword come from? Who may have used it? Also, the interpretation of artifacts requires expertise. Okay, so you need to be a very, very highly skilled archaeologist or historian to piece together the past from fragments of physical objects. So if we were to focus on historical sources and strengths and weaknesses of historical sources in an exam setting, what kind of question could it be asked? Well, your junior cycle exam will contain many different source-based questions. Okay, so for example, you could be provided with an old letter from an event such as the 1916 Rising. And you may be asked, what is a strength and a weakness of using this letter to learn about the Rising? Okay, now what could an answer to that be? Well, a letter, as we know, is a written piece of evidence. Okay, so a strength we could say is it provides a detailed account of the events and the personal perspectives of the person who wrote it. We get an understanding as to the writer's motivations at this time. What could be a weakness? Well, this particular letter comes from someone who took part in the Rising on the Irish side. This means that they have their own personal agenda and it may be of a biased nature. So it might be useful to consult more than one source or more than one piece of evidence when learning about this part of Irish history.